Do any of you happen to know a parent that loves their kid a little bit too much? Those of you who are teachers, maybe let me help the rest of you. Parents who love their kids a little bit too much, their kid never does anything wrong. So they get in trouble at school, it's the teacher's fault. They get in trouble on the sports team or on extracurricular. That wasn't my kid. They were obviously provoked. Or maybe you see those parents at biddy ball games, first, second, and third grade, and their kid's the next Michael Jordan. And they're running up and down, hollering, "Come on, ref!" I mean, they're 7 years old, right? Or maybe they're like a musical prodigy because they can play hot cross buns on the recorder. Leah, can you play hot cross buns? Nope, not a prodigy. But you have those parents, right? You know some of those parents, and they just can't help themselves. They love their kids so much, they have to tell the whole world, "Check out what my kid did. My kid's better than yours," right? But if you happen to know a parent like that, or if you are that parent, I have good news. That's how God is towards us. John 3:16, probably the most famous book or famous scripture in the entire Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Then verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I think sometimes we miss one of the words in there, the word "so." For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, John could have said, "Because God loved the world," but he put that "so" in there. God is love. He doesn't try to love. He doesn't work on it. He just is. He can't help himself. God so loves us that he sent Jesus. Well, around 750 years before Jesus shows up, God demonstrates his love through a prophet named Hosea. And he demonstrates it by having Hosea live out a life of love, but then also speak about God's love. So as Matt has talked about here in the last few weeks with the children's message, Israel had this bad habit of sinning, and then they were oppressed or there were consequences, and then they would repent and they would be delivered. Sin, oppressed, repent, delivered. And when we meet up with Hosea, they're in this section of sinning. They're having this struggle with sin. And a lot of it was because whenever they were oppressed and they were delivered, they would take pieces of the other culture with them. And in this time when Hosea's speaking, he is speaking, and Israel had brought back this really distorted view of love. Israel at the time believed that love could be purchased, that love was about self-gratification, and love could be found in things. Love could be purchased. It was all about what's in it for me. And you found it in things. And to me, that sounds a lot like the United States today. Maybe even some of us. So Hosea says, "Okay, God, I will be your prophet. I will be your spokesman." So we pick up, and at the beginning of Hosea is given an assignment. Prophets all the time had really hard assignments. And I would suggest that Hosea's is probably the hardest assignment of all. Hosea is asked by God, or told by God, "Hosea, go and marry this woman named Gomer." And if that were the end of the story, that would be bad enough. If there are any Gomers watching on TV today, I apologize. But most guys don't want to marry a woman named Gomer. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is her occupation. See, Gomer was a woman of the night. She was a promiscuous woman. Or if you've seen the movie Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, she was Julia Roberts. Now, I have to keep this rated G because We have kids in here today, and we have kids watching online. So kids, if you have any questions about Gomer's occupation, please ask your parents on the way home. Yep, you're welcome. Amen. Or, you know, pause the video, ask right now, and then we'll pick up. So Hosea marries Gomer. All right, I'll do it. Weird name, terrible occupation. I'll do it. And then they start having a family. They have three kids, and each one of them, God says, name your kid a name that represents that I'm willing to let Israel fall. God says, okay, Jezreel, first kid, Jezreel, I'm willing to allow Israel to move away from me. Second name, Lo Ruhamah, not loved. Third name, Lo Ami, not my people. So Gomer, have a family with Hosea. Gomer, move out of this life of love that's based on self and about being purchased. Instead, be married, be saved by Hosea. So they do, and they have a family. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where you were told you are not my people, it will be said you are the children of the living God. Chapter 2, verse 14, God says, but then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. Yes, Israel, you're going to move away from me, but I will win you back. Hosea, marry Gomer, represent my love for Israel and my people. Save her from this life of pain. Live out this pursuing, crazy, reckless love. If you would sing with us. So Gomer marries Hosea and they start a family. And then one day Hosea wakes up and Gomer's gone. He looks through the house and her stuff's packed up and she's moved out. Here is Hosea, a prophet, a spokesperson for God, probably one of the most well-known people in Israel at that time, and he's left alone to be a single dad. Three kids. So God says, let's continue my plan, Hosea. I want you to go and find Gomer and marry her again. Go and seek after her, pursue her, find her, and recommit yourself to her. I can only imagine what that was like for Hosea to go around town and, hey, have you seen my wife? I'm looking for Gomer. Have you seen her? Maybe somebody says, yeah, Hosea, I don't know how to tell you this, but I heard she's back to her old profession. You might want to go down to the red light district. You'll probably find her there. So Hosea goes. And indeed, he finds her. And a lot of scholars think that Gomer was on the auction block. She was being sold. And I can only imagine what Gomer was thinking as she's there and she's gone back to this life of pain and this life of fake love where it can be purchased and it's about self-gratification and she sees her husband walk in. The sadness, maybe the confusion. Why'd he come back? Definitely the guilt. And I can just picture her lowering her head and the auction starts and Hosea buys his wife back. Scripture says that he spent 15 shekels of silver and 5 bushels of barley. In Numbers 5, barley was used in the sacrificial system. If a wife was thought to be unfaithful, they would go and give a barley offering to the priests. So Hosea gives this barley offering, this payment of barley. And 5 bushels of barley is the equivalent of 15 shekels of silver. He spends 30 shekels of silver, which is worth about a half of a year's wage, to buy his wife back. 30 pieces of silver, that's what Judas was paid to betray Jesus. See, I think the gospel is right here. There's 30 pieces of silver. There's someone who's willing to go and pay for something that they love so much. I think that, like Jesus, Hosea says, I'll pay for what's already mine. I know that's my wife, but I'll pay for her. And Jesus says, I know that I created you. I know that you're my child. But I'll pay for you. I'll live a life of perfection and I will sacrifice for you to pay back, to redeem, to purchase what's already his. Galatians chapter 3 says, Christ bought us with his blood and made us free from the law. Christ did this by carrying the load and being punished instead of us. Jesus bought you, and you're already his. Hosea bought Gomer. And then he recommits. He goes over his vows again. And I don't know if it was, I want to think that he did it right there in front of everyone, but maybe they went alone, or maybe they had a separate ceremony. But he recommits himself to Gomer, and here's what he says. I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. Gomer, you're not going to have another man, and I'm not going to have another woman. For better or worse, till death do us part. And then Hosea prophesies what's going to come for Israel. He says, for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Now, again, Hosea wrote this 750 years before Jesus was born. So he doesn't know the Messiah's name. So instead, he uses David, the king. That was a messianic term. And he knew that one day Israel would turn from the kings and the sacrifices and turn to the real king, the true king, the Messiah. They would come trembling before the Lord, and the blessings would be theirs. Blessings of grace and hope and love. Every week we want to take time to remember our King. We want to take time to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We do that through communion. If you're at home, we invite you now to go and get something that represents communion. If you're with us, hopefully you grabbed a communion as you came in. If not, there's some on the back table. And we're going to sing a song that just says that God expresses his amazing love through allowing our King to die for us. And if we humbly come before him, if we tremble before him, we will get blessings. The blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of new life. If you would pray with me, and then we invite you to sing with us as we take communion. God, thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your pursuing reckless love, that you're willing to go into the darkest places to save us, to rescue us. Thank you that you sent Jesus to purchase us, even though we're already yours. We are your creation. Every breath we take is from you. But you sent Jesus to buy us back. So we worship you, we worship Jesus this morning as we take this communion and as we sing this song. Amen. Well, so in this story, in this prophecy, who is Hosea. Well, Hosea is God. And Hosea actually means salvation, or he saves. And Gomer's name? Well, Gomer's us. And Gomer means completion or completed. You know, Matt always jokes around, or maybe he's serious. He has like 400 favorite stories in Scripture, which is like having 25 best friends. I don't understand that, but I will say that since I heard a sermon on Hosea a couple of months ago, and as I've been preparing for this sermon, this really has become one of my favorite stories. And I think it's outside of the story of Jesus and the cross, I think it's the greatest example in Scripture of God's grace and his pursuing love. You see, God won't stop. God will keep pursuing. He'll go into the most vile places, the worst parts that you can imagine, to save someone, to rescue. Jesus is my Hosea. He has saved me, and I am complete. He's your Hosea. And if you accept him, if you follow him, you're complete. Nothing needs to be added outside of Jesus. But it's not real easy for Hoseas to go and get Gomers. I don't think it's neat and tidy what God did to send Jesus to chase after us. I think it's really hard, maybe impossible sometimes. Here's what Isaiah says. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. It's my firm belief that we are all Gomers. I'm Gomer. You're Gomer. And I want to warn us, as fellow Gomers, not to be judgmental toward other Gomers. I've seen a lot of things on social media and over the last few months, and our country is so divided. And I don't think that's the way of Jesus. I don't think Jesus picks a political side. In fact, I've read the Bible a few times, and I've never seen that he voted Republican or Democrat. I don't see that he has taken a stance and said, if you believe this way, then you can't be a part of me. But yet a lot of us who follow Jesus, I've seen it on social media. I've seen it by the way we talk, by the way we live. If you vote this way, we're not friends. If you have this viewpoint on this social issue, remove me from your friend list. I don't want to have any part of you. That's not the way of Jesus. And I don't think it's the way Gomers should treat other Gomers. You know, when Abigail died in December, we created the Loved Well motto. And I think that Abigail loved well because she recognized that she was a Gomer. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is anointed by a certain immoral woman. And I love the way the Bible says that, a certain immoral woman. And here's what Jesus says. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. I want to believe that Abigail was perfect, but she wasn't. Abigail was Gomer. And her sins, and there were many, were forgiven, and she loved so much. And I think if you really recognize that you're a Gomer, if you really believe that you're as messed up as the next person, you're not going to judge the other Gomer. If you recognize my sins, oh, there's a lot. They are many. You're going to love well. John chapter 4 says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. Because God so loves you, surely you should love each other. Like, that's the bare minimum. Stop picking sides. Stop telling someone they're not a Christian. Stop saying that I can't be your friend. Go to the deepest, darkest places, because that's what Jesus does. Love well, because that's what Jesus does. Romans 12 says, don't just pretend to love others. Don't fake it. Don't pretend. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what's good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I think that's our calling. I think that's what Jesus preached. I think our world is broken. And I look around and I watch the news and it is full of Gomers. And I go downtown to Bloomington and listen to the brokenness of other Gomers. And I weep. I hurt. Because I really want to love others. So this morning, that's my challenge to you and to us as a church. Don't pretend. Be on the forefront. Cross the line. Make it where it's uncomfortable. If you're comfortable, I don't think you're really loving. You think it was comfortable for Hosea to go and purchase his wife? You think it was comfortable for Jesus to die? I don't. So how can you love others? How can you go and save other Gomers? I'm going to ask that this week and even today that we're going to pray for God to speak to us and challenge us to move as individuals and as a church, that we don't stay in the background anymore, but instead we're up at the front. We're loving so well that people recognize a person's different. They're not choosing a side. They're loving everyone. We can't have, because of COVID, we can't have response songs. We can't have you come forward. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to pray. Matt and I are going to pray. And we're going to get on our knees before the King and cry out to God. I'm going to pray for our divided country. I'm going to say a few sentences, and then I'm going to ask you to pray for our country, for leadership in our country, for leadership in our state, our city, our church. That we could be not a country, not a church, not a people of division, but of unity. Matt's going to then pray, and he's going to pray for us individually and as a church. How can we move forward? What actions can we take to love well? And then he's going to end with a time to ask God to come and heal us, to move and to change our country. So I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to invite you, whether you're at home, whether you're here, if you can get on your knees, I'm going to invite you to do that. If not, you can stay seated. If you want to stand, however you want to get before the King, we're just going to have about 4 or 5 minutes of just praying and talking to our King. So if you would pray with us. O Holy King, my heart breaks for the Gomers in this world who don't know what true love is. The division that is created in our country over our brokenness. That we think that a political side or a certain view of tackling COVID or handling racial relations is going to fix something. O King, only you can save. Only you can rescue. So we spend the next few moments praying, weeping, yearning for you to fix our country.
God, I just want to come to you right now, and as a Gomer, thank you for seeking after me, because my sins are many. I pray that you be with all of us across this country, across this world, that call on your name, that we can remember that our sins are many. That you would be with us and give us the strength and boldness to share your love with those around us, that we can remember that we're not accepted because of anything we've done. We're accepted only because of what you have done for us, and that we would have the courage to share that love with those around us. And we just pray that you be with those of us who know who we are, who know whose we are, that we can remember that we're no better than anyone else, and that we are called to live differently, to love differently. God, I just pray that you be with us and that you embolden us to be you to those around us. God, we come to you humbly right now because we live in a broken world. We live in a country that is broken and just feels like it's falling apart around us. That we come to you that it seems like every month there's just something new coming, some new reminder of the sin that lives in this world. We just want to come to you humbly to acknowledge that you are God and beg you to heal this world, to be with us that call on your name, to be a healing balm, to go around and share your love, that we're not sharing division, that we're not sharing strife and animosity, but we are going around sharing the love that comes from you. The only way that this world will be healed is through you. So God, we come to you right now and we ask, God, please heal our land. God, you are an awesome God. The fact that you love us, you so love us that you sent Jesus for us, it blows my mind. God, we just want to thank you for being a God that loves us that way. Pray that you be with us and guide us and strengthen us, Lord. It's in your Son's most holy name that we pray. Amen.